Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Cool. So awesome stuff from this morning that Peter and Shane were sharing. Just fantastic. Setting a great foundation. My name is Christian, like Etienne was introducing me. My wife's name is Cheryl. She's sitting here in the front. But I just want to ask you just like three quick questions about money. And you can don't have to put your hand up. Please don't shout these out. But just think about it in your heart. When you think about money, your money that you have, when you think about it, do you feel excited or do you feel fearful? Are you really excited, you know, getting closer to the end of the month? You know, when you're about to get paid, you get really excited. But the last 2 weeks of the month, you're petrified. You're depressed. Or how about this one? You often wonder, what happened to all of my money? What happened to all of the money that I got? After a few weeks, you know, a few weeks into the month, maybe you just, it's this mystery. It's like you feel like a magician. All the money just disappeared. Yeah? So if you feel like this, if this is the sort of things that's in your heart, don't feel bad. Because about four years ago, my wife and I, when we got married, we had a total of R1 million worth of debt. So that's one with six zeros in the end. Yeah? Just in case you thought I said the wrong number. It was actually R1,002,000, but who's counting? So this consisted of credit cards, overdrafts, two cars, there was a property that had a second mortgage on it, some clothing accounts, some personal loans, and all these sort of things combined to this total. So we were both working, we both had jobs, but we didn't have any money. Even if we did have money, you have to add how much you actually are worth. It's not just how much money you're earning. It's what you actually have that you can use. Like Peter and Shane were sharing, it's about having enough to meet the needs, to meet the needs that God's putting in your heart, having sufficient. So this was our situation. We didn't dream about our money. It freaked us out whenever we thought about it. We got to a point in April, after we got married, that we just had enough. We had enough of feeling poor. We had enough of this feeling of feeling like I'm in poverty, feeling like a slave to money. And we started to look to the Word, started to look to the Word of God. We got on a plan, and we started to tell our money what we wanted to accomplish and not the other way around. And as of this month, as of end of October, my wife and I have paid off R1 million of debt in 4 years. No. I know these things now. No, I do not. It's a good question. So that's not because my wife and I are financial gurus. Yeah, I don't have an above average IQ. I don't have like a degree in finances. I didn't get some lucky inheritance, you know, somewhere along the line. This happened because we saw God's goodness. We saw His goodness, who He is towards us, our relationship and identity with Him. And this started to change our hearts to want to cooperate with God and His wisdom and His truth about finances. We were normal. We were average people. Yeah, but average really sucks. Being normal when it comes to your finances will kill your dreams. Yeah, so be abnormal, be weird when it comes to money. God is He's got very different ideas than what we do. So the first scripture I just want to talk about briefly is John 8:32. John 8:32. This is Jesus speaking, and He says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So the truth you know, the truth that you personally are convinced of will set you free. Cooperating with God and the truth that He has for you about money, about your identity, will make you prosperous. But you have to cooperate. You got to know and assimilate the truth that he has for you. It has a practical outworking in your life. And that's what I'm going to talk to you guys today about, a bit of the practicalities of that. But the first thing I want to talk about, and please don't get condemned when I bring up this topic. Sometimes it's easy for Christians to feel condemned. You just read a scripture from the Bible and you tell them they're not doing it. And then we feel condemned about it. But you're not condemned. Jesus has forgiven all your sins. He's with you. But truth sets you free. It sometimes makes you very uncomfortable while it's setting you free. But that's great because the Holy Spirit is a comforter. Okay, so I'm prefacing this a little bit for us. So Proverbs 22 verse 7. Proverbs 22 verse 7. It says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is the slave of the lender. So that's a pretty clear scripture there, but it says the rich rules over the poor, like Jesus talked about it, in a bad way. They rule over, they oppress, they control them. And it says here, the borrower is the slave of the lender. So something happens in our hearts when we start getting into debt. Yeah? We think maybe debt, oh, it's just a mistake I made, or I just wanted this thing now instead of saving up for it later. But what it really is doing, and I think that's God's biggest concern, is that debt is impacting your heart. The way you see yourself and the way you see the dreams that God has for you gets severely impacted by debt. Debt is not a sin necessarily. It's just dumb. Yeah, it's not a good thing for you to get into this. It's not the wisdom of God. You're still born again if you've got debt. I didn't just get born again at the end of this month after the debt was paid off. You're still born again and you'll still make heaven. So don't be condemned about this. But there's three effects of debt that I just want to talk about. The first one is it creates a slave attitude in your heart. So if you think about a slave, slaves don't own any property. They're not allowed to own. They cannot possess things. They can only borrow from someone else. Slaves don't have long-term dreams. Think about that. I'm only thinking about this month to the next month to the next month. I don't have vision or dream about the future or what I can accomplish, what God can do through me. My dreams are very, very small. They're needs-based. Slaves are not generous. They don't have anything to be generous with. It's a whole attitude and a mindset that settles in our hearts. You get convinced that I will never be able to prosper. I will never be able to manage and steward that amount of money or to grow into it. That's one of the first effects that debt has on our hearts. The second one is it ruins your relationships. So, like for my wife and I, you know, it's an example in marriage as well. Money is one of the biggest things that people fight about in marriage. One of the biggest, you know, disagreements and places of conflict. It actually damages that relationship. And the same with your normal friendships with people. If you want to ruin a relationship, borrow money from somebody or lend money to them. It's almost a guarantee you're going to ruin that relationship because it changes the very nature of the relationship to master-slave. I own, you borrow from me. And then when you're talking to that friend, you're not actually thinking about your friend. You're thinking about when are they paying me back? I saw them buy a coffee today. They could have used their money to pay me back. You know, that's what you think about in your heart. So it ruins relationships. And if you don't have money available, you can't invest in relationships either. Relationships cost money. You know, if you want to, you know, invest into somebody, build relationship with them, it does take some money. You're creating time. Like I said, you're buying them something to eat. You invite them to your house, whatever it is. There is a money element involved. So there might be some relationships in your life that God wants you to build that will affect your destiny. But because you have a slave mindset because of debt, you're not able to create that space. And God can't bring that person into your life to start speaking things into your life. It's an amazing effect that it can have. The third one is it stops you from having a stewardship mentality about money. Because what happens is if you're in large amount of debt, it's stealing income from you. You're paying, you know, interest on it. All this stuff is happening. And what you think about your money is the only picture you have is from now until the next debit order or whatever comes off. That's the vision that you have. You don't think like a steward. You know, you don't think like a manager of God's money. A manager, you know, let's say a manager of a company, they don't just think about this month's profits or this month's expenses. They're planning for the fiscal year, the five-year plan. Where are we going to be in 10 years' time? God wants you to think that way about your own personal finances. You know, a lot of us here are excited about business, but, you know, you're not going to all of a sudden become a financial genius when you have a business. It starts with your own heart, your own personal finances, stewarding that. God teaches you things in your own life, and that's what you use then going forward. But Peter will speak a bit more about that. Like I said, debt causes you to see money as just something you use to make you feel better or to meet your needs. You don't. It stops you from having an investment mentality. Where's this growing to? What is the capacity that this can have? It's very hard to dream about long-term kingdom purposes when God thinks generationally. If you're going from paycheck to paycheck, or you're giving all your money away to debt, it's very hard to think like that. It's contrary. So slaves don't invest. They don't have money. They are powerless, not powerful. This is one of the biggest things that I've seen with my wife and I. As we started to see the debt being cleared and growing in this, we started to dream more about the things that God is dreaming about. We started to dream more about the people that God wants to reach. And it's been amazing through this journey for 4 years. It sounds so contrary, but we've actually, with our giving and our generosity has increased. We were giving more than we ever have, although the debt is still getting paid off, and it's paid off now. It doesn't make sense on paper, but that's God. You're not on your own. You're cooperating with the creator of the universe. That's what we see happening. So debt is stealing from the income that God is trying to prosper you with. God has purposes for that money that you are wasting on debt and the interest you pay on it. So often, you know, you can take a lot of things, but if you buy something on debt, it often costs you 50% more, which is great for the place that you're buying it from because they're making an amazing profit on you. Yeah? If you buy a piece of bread, let's say you buy a loaf of bread, and I tell you, okay, you can buy this loaf of bread now for 20 rand. You've got the cash. Or it's fine, buy it on credit, you pay it off over a few months, that loaf of bread will then cost you 100 rand. You wouldn't do that necessarily with a loaf of bread because it's easy to see. You're like, that's a ripoff. They're making 100% profit from me. That's what's happening with debt, but in increments. You don't notice it because it's one little thing here, one little thing there, and before you know it, it's 1 million rand. Yeah? It takes a while for that to grow, but it sneaks up on you. It steals bit by bit from you, and it's all legal. Hopefully, the debt that you have is legal. Okay. So debt is not God's way of prospering you, especially not over the long term. I understand that you're in certain situations and sometimes you do things because you have to. This needs to be met. That's fine. Don't be condemned about that. But know that in the long term, God does not want you to have a slave mentality. He wants you to have a mentality of a steward, someone that possesses the resources that God has provided for them. Hey, you all are still smiling. It's a very fun topic to talk about. So do you really want to live like a slave when Christ paid for you to be free? Can you really imagine Jesus looking at debts or the situation and going, yeah, that's my best for you. That's awesome. That's really encouraging you. That's giving you faith. You know, it's not preparing you for anything. It's inhibiting you. So now I want to jump into just 5 steps. A little bit of the practical things. It's just not all of it, but this is just the first 5 most important steps. The plan that my wife and I got onto, and we're learning about this and learning about our identity and who God is, and so this plan sort of came about through that. But let's go to Proverbs 21, verse 5. Proverbs 21, verse 5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. So obviously this good planning and hard work is not apart from God. Like Shane and Peter were talking about that a lot. But it says good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. So many of us want to be prosperous, but we have no plan. We're like, God, you'll just have to prosper me in spite of myself. You know, I'm just waiting for the big miracle to come in. One day I'll just get this amount of money in my bank account. Yeah, that's probably illegal. Something wrong happened, by the way. We've seen that in South Africa. But that's not how it's going to work. There's some planning. You're cooperating with a plan. You're telling your money what to do. God is not going to tell your money what to do for you. He has a plan. You make a choice to get involved with it or not. Cooperate. Submit to it. So one of the first things that we need to look at is to create a budget or a spending plan. Is a bit more positive. I heard from Peter. A budget. So the budget I'm talking about here is a zero-based budget. So that sounds really fancy. But all it means is that every single rand that comes in is assigned to something. Don't make a budget and then half of your budget is called miscellaneous. Guess what? That money's going to go wherever it wants to go. Yeah? So you're actually making a zero-based budget. And a little bit of an example of it. That's no one's specific details. It's just made up. But you're making a budget. You're telling your money what you wanted to accomplish. So in case you're wondering what the buckets are for, and not for offering. So with the water restrictions, we've prayed for rain. It's been raining. Amen. With the water restrictions in our house, we said, okay, fine. We're going to try to help save water. And we'll get a bucket, and we'll put the bucket in the shower, and you get in the bucket, and then you shower. And it's an amazing thing that's happened, yeah? Like, you put this bucket down. Oh, let me hold it up so you guys in the back can see. You put this bucket down, you stand in the bucket, and now the water, you position it so it's catching all the water, right? The water is going in here, and it's amazing. When this bucket gets to almost full, you're like, I'm done with my shower. Where before, if the bucket wasn't there, you're like thinking about other things, praying in tongues for an extra 10 minutes, which is not bad. But you don't realize where it's going until you've put a bucket there to catch it. Yeah? An amazing thing is we take the big bucket, we pour it into a small bucket like this, fill up the toilets, all of this, and we were like both shocked. Like, wow, you save so much water, many liters. It's amazing. That's the principle of a budget. The provision is coming from God. It's that stream, that flow from God. But many of us are just getting wet. Yeah? You're just getting wet. But if you put down a bucket, that's a budget. You're catching it, and you can take that big supply and start pouring it into smaller buckets for specific uses and purposes. We don't think about it that way. And we just wonder where the money went. We can use that for offering later. So what you're going to do is you're telling every rand what it should accomplish. It's supposed to do something for you. Like Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is lack of vision, the people perish. You're getting a bit of vision, using your vision to steward your finances. The vision that God is giving you. Okay. So, just three major parts of the budget that I quickly want to talk about is, firstly, there's giving. So, this is where you're partnering with Jesus. So, you don't have to give if you're in massive amounts of debt and you're struggling. God is not forcing you. But I highly recommend that you do, even if it's like 10 rand. Because for us, it's been amazing. It's helped our hearts so much to see the money the way God sees it by giving and partnering with someone else. It's actually impacted all the rest of our budget. We've seen so much amazing, like just miracles happen with our finances, even though we were in debt, because we set our hearts to give and to be generous. Prosperity starts on the inside. This is a way for you to express that. So it's your giving, then it's your essentials. You've got rent, food, water and lights, petrol. That's essential stuff. You need to take care of that. Then there's non-essential things. So don't be upset with me, but like DSTV, fancy clothes, eating out, spending money, cigarettes, wine. These are not essential things. You can probably cut some of these things, maybe not forever, but just for now until you can start to grow and get out of the situation that you're in. Remember, if some of these things are bringing you comfort, if some of these things are comforting you and giving you identity, it's a great time to start talking to Jesus about it. Like, hey, this is actually costing me money, but Jesus can give me this for free. He gives me joy for free. I don't need this. This is where the real power comes in, cooperating with Him. And this is the important part. Review this every month, twice a month, every week. Review this. If you're married, this is an awesome little house meeting to talk about, yeah? Give each other loads of grace, though. Just be sure you do that all the time with this. Give each other loads of grace, but review it, adjust it. Check the state of your resources. What buckets? Are there buckets that are leaking? Do we need some more buckets for these purposes? What is God dreaming about? What's going on? Okay, step two is to run as fast as you can. Get away from debt. Stop getting into more debt. If you have a bunch of friends you hang out that always gets you into debt, just don't see them for a while. Or invite them to church and sit somewhere else. Okay, that's a nicer way of doing it. You don't have any money. If you're in a large amount of debt, you don't have any money. You think you have money because it's like, you know, you're lending it from somebody. You don't actually have that money. You don't have that available to you. Cut up the credit cards. Close the account. Stop going to the mall. Some of us, it's easier. Flee from debt. Get really aggressive with it. Don't hang out with it anymore. Don't talk about it anymore. Don't read things about it anymore. Don't open up that, oh, look, there's a letter in the mail. They're offering me a free credit card. Burn it if you have to. Yeah, your neighbors will think you're strange. But get aggressive. Get sick of it. Like the same way we talk about healing. Like if there's a disease, you're like, this is not from God. I hate this. I'm going to cast it out. Do the same thing with that. It's bringing death into your life. It's not what God wants for you. Step three, set up a baby emergency fund. This is not necessarily just to have a baby, but that's also a good idea eventually. But what most people do is they want to get out of debt. So the first month they throw all the money they have at the debt. And then guess what happens? The geyser breaks or your radiator goes. And then you have to use more debt to try to get out of it. So one of the first things you do is after you've set up your budget and you've cut up the credit cards, you put away some money. You put away some money, 1,000 rand if you're low income, 5,000 rand, 10,000 rand if you're married. And you say, God, this is the first thing I want to do. I want to build up this money for emergencies so that I have something stored up, provision before the thing goes wrong, so that I have something that I can draw on so I can stop putting holes in my buckets. Very important principle. In Proverbs 21, verse 20 says, there are precious treasures and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a self-confident and foolish man swallows it up and wastes it. It's godly to have precious treasures and oil in your dwelling place. So that's more than enough to give for when it's required. You don't just have to have faith when things go wrong. You can have faith beforehand. That's the principle of this. This is for emergencies. Unexpected things that will happen. Shoes is not an emergency unless you don't have any shoes. Okay, but this is a very important first step. This is one of your big first steps of faith, is to get this amount of money just stored away. It'll change the way you think about money. To have something saved, you're just like, wow, this is not for needs. This is for emergencies. This is God's provision in my life. Look at it. There it is. Have it accessible, but not too accessible. Okay, the next step is now you start paying off debts. This is called the debt snowball, the snowball effect. You list your debt, which is quite scary, but you list your debt. You've done a budget, so you should be aware of it now. From the smallest to the largest, and you start focusing on the smallest one first. Now, I know it's probably not the biggest interest in all of that, but you want to change your heart. You want to make a small victory to keep encouraged. I can do this. Remember, slaves are not powerful. They're powerless. Once you pay off that first small debt, you focus on it, you'll be like, this is working. We can do this. Yeah? You start listing it, then you focus in on one. So you pay the minimum off on your debt, all the debts, so they don't come and take your stuff. You pay the minimum, and then whatever excess amount of money you've squeezed out, or you work second, or whatever it is you need to do, whatever that excess amount you've squeezed from your budget that you've been putting into the baby fund, you take that just like it is, and you throw it into that first debt. Like a laser, you focus in on it. You just keep throwing money in there until it's gone. Then you freed up some more money because now you're not paying that anymore and you roll it over to the next one. Focus like a laser. Otherwise, you're all over the place and you're not going to feel like you're making progress. So another thing that happens here is then when things go wrong, Your emergencies happen. You pause the excess amount that you're paying on the debt. And you then use the money from your baby emergency fund, the small one. Yeah? You pay that emergency. Then you're like, okay, I'm going to go back to the minimum amount on my debt. And now I'm going to take that excess and put it back to build up my baby emergency fund. Yeah? It's the buffer between you and things that go wrong. It's the storehouse you can draw on. And you just keep swapping the two around, topping the one up till it's full, then you shift back to the debt. And you just keep going with this process. Along the way, you're going to see amazing provision and miracles and unexpected stuff from God. We had a bank actually give us, what, 35,000 rand off on something we had to pay them. That doesn't happen every day. So this is the sort of stuff that happens. This is just like the first four easy steps. Stuff that you're going to progress in. There's a lot more things after this, and some of you are financially inclined, probably know that. But just want you to focus in on these. Get on a budget. Stop getting into debt. Build a small emergency fund and start paying off your debt one by one. This is boring, by the way. This is not exciting. Yeah, this is just something you do every month, and you keep going, and you keep growing in the revelation of who God is towards you, the way He sees money. And then 4 years later, you're like, wow, 1 million rand is gone. That's awesome. That's not something we can do. It's because we're cooperating with God's blessing, God's provision, His supply in our lives. And now it's gotten to us to a place where we can dream about having a child. We can dream about opening a business. We can dream like children of God now, no longer slaves. That's the big thing that's changed in our hearts. So just to wrap up quickly, this sort of sets a foundation for financial freedom or prosperity. The truth sets us free. That's what this has done in Cheryl's life. And we have an example with Jesus, you know, doing the miracle. Either Peter or Shane were talking about it, but with the loaves and the fishes. So there's a kid there who had to actually take his resources and give that into the hands of Jesus to see the multiplication. If you're trying to manage your resources your own way and by yourself, it will never be as fruitful and multiply as much as it can in the hands of Jesus. This process is actually just about opening your heart and trusting Jesus with his wisdom for your finances. He wants you to prosper way more than what you want yourself to prosper. That's at his heart for us. Awesome. Thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.